Tonight's scripture is from Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Oh, gee, thank you. I haven't even said anything yet. So I do a monthly worship service at an area retirement community. It's a great service. I really love the people there. We get about 40 each week. And one of the funnest things is they send me goodies every now and then. And they sent me a sound machine, which means that I can do this. I can make a spring noise, or I can do... And when I tell a joke, in case it doesn't go over now, I've got this already. It is so handy. Now, there are other noises that you'd have to be a middle school boy to appreciate, which I will not do for you because this is Christmas Eve, but I have had so much fun with this thing. So, without further ado, the sermon. Okay, maybe we'll just keep doing that all night. Well, I brought the sound machine because Silent Night, Holy Night, we have been talking about it all Advent. This is tonight, the 200th anniversary of the first time that that song has been sung. And we have been speaking it and speaking about it all month. It is, I know that more than one or two of you showed up tonight with one desire, which is to get to that point in the service where we hold candles and sing Silent Night together. And I agree with you, and we will do that tonight for sure. It's beautiful, but this song has been on my heart all Advent. And I need to confess to you that there is something that's been troubling me about that song. You see, we sing about a silent night. But was it really? I mean, have you ever been in a room when a birth is happening? It's noisy. It's lovely and hushed, but it's noisy and busy and in the way that happens when new life is being birthed. It is not a silent night in there. And if you've ever been home with a fresh new baby in the middle of the night, I am convinced there is no one on earth who gets less sleep than a new parent. Babies are notorious for taking a lovely and silent night, and loudly proclaiming their wet diaper or their hunger or their all-consuming desire for something they know not what. So in reality, that first silent night might have sounded something like this. And there was more, because Jesus was not born in the antiseptic silence of a hospital ward. You remember, he was born in a barn with animals. And remember, to whom did the angels sing? The shepherds. And then the shepherds themselves came and worshiped Jesus. So it's not a very silent night. And there was more. On a more serious level, it was a time of a military government, of a tyrannical despot, a time of census, a time of soldiers showing off their military might. And so there were other noises. Silent night much? I mean, in spite of the beauty of our imagery, the reality was likely very different. And although the noises may be different some 2,000 years later, it's still tough to find a silent night. I mean, at the end of a night, our mornings are defined by noise as the day begins. And then, once we're awake, we get into our cars for our daily commute. Sound familiar? And then we get to the office or to our home office and we sit down and what do we start doing soon? Typing at our keyboards. And of course, don't forget the melody that punctuates, it seems like, every moment of our lives these days. I hope you've remembered to silence your cell phones, by the way, for this service. But you know, our world is a noisy place. We're always connected to one another via our phones and our computers and our television, so that something bad happens halfway across the world and it's immediately splayed across our screens and into our hearts. And there's a crisis in half a world away or in our immediate family, and we know it immediately. We are truly surrounded by noise, but we come together every year on this night to sing about a silent night. Are we being idealists? I think about 104 years ago, there were other noises because it was the middle of World War I. And in the close together trench warfare that was World War I, soldiers were fighting and were killing and dying each day in the mud and the ice of frozen trenches. And 104 years ago tonight, the noise of war was broken. It began by one lone voice singing about a silent night, singing in his own native language of German. It may have seemed like craziness to dare to dream of a silent night in the middle of the war in those killing trenches, but that German voice sang and kept singing. And then what happened? On the other side of the trenches, a voice joined his song in English, and together they sang.
Stille Nacht.
See the power of that song that we'll be singing shortly, managed to bring truce even just for that night, for that Christmas day, the Christmas Day truce. But there is power in singing about our hopes in that silent night. And if the dreaming and singing of a silent night was needed and true for the soldiers in World War I, then I believe that dreaming and singing of a silent night is true and needed in 2018 and into 2019. Now, the world is not usually a silent night, but when tonight we can listen together in silence, we can hear the blessedness of silence. We can take all the noises that make this night so noisy, and we can begin to peel them away one at a time as we seek for true silence. We can imagine a world truly at peace, listening for that still small voice of God in the contented gurgles of a baby. Yes, it truly is a silent night. It truly is a holy night. We gather together to celebrate the gift of the Savior to each of us. Love and peace and redemption are available to all of us on this blessed, silent, peaceful night. And in the beauty of this night, as we sing carols, as we celebrate communion together, may you know the truth and love that that baby brought on that original silent night, and that Christ brings to each one of us this night and forever. Will you pray with me? Oh God, break through the noise of our lives, of our world, and bring to us your blessed silence, your blessed peace. Oh God, make us able to hear through all the noise the silence of your grace and your love. Amen.